Lauren Davies thought she'd seen her hardest days, raising her son James alone, scraping by on late shifts and second-hand clothes. Then she met Alexander Blackwood. Handsome, generous, infinitely wealthy, he paid her rent, bought her groceries, even offered college funds for James. It was all part of their agreement, a sugar arrangement where she provided companionship and he provided security. At first, it was transactional. No strings, no promises, just a contract. But Alexander wasn't just rich, he was cunning. He offered guidelines, who she could see, how she dressed. When she balked, he produced videos, intimate moments recorded in darkened hallways. Blackmail, control, fear. Lauren began to feel trapped in gilded chains. But this story isn't about a woman kept silent. It's about the moment she decided to turn the game on him. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Agreement. Lauren Davies always thought her life would be a little easier by the time she turned 32. But here she was, standing behind the register at Midtown Market, fingers aching from bagging groceries, eyes half closed from another night with no sleep. The hum of fluorescent lights and the echo of squeaky shopping carts blurred into a kind of numbness. Still, she had to keep going. James, her son, needed dinner. Rent was overdue. Her car barely made it to work that morning. It was late October in Atlanta. The city had a kind of sticky warmth even at night, and Lauren found herself walking the cracked sidewalk home, holding James's hand, wishing things could be different. Some days she dreamed of a life where she wasn't always one missed shift away from disaster, but for women like her, alone, working, trying so hard, dreams felt far away. When the opportunity came, it wasn't a job ad or a lucky lottery ticket. It was her friend Mia who first brought it up, almost in a whisper. "You ever think about it? I mean, really think about it?" Mia was scrolling her phone, sitting across from Lauren in the break room, the noise of the store fading in the background. "Think about what?" Lauren asked. "Not really." Small, discreet voice recorder and hid it in her bag. She started acting normal around Alexander, playing the grateful companion while quietly collecting every scrap of evidence. She met David again, this time at a crowded cafe, deliberately choosing a seat in full view. She told him only a little, that things were complicated, that she needed a friend. David didn't press her. He just offered her warmth and an easy smile, giving her the smallest taste of normalcy. Meanwhile, Alexander's control escalated. He called her at odd hours, demanded proof of her whereabouts, and criticized her for any sign of independence. But Lauren played along, even as she recorded their conversations. One night, Alexander arrived unannounced at her apartment. He brought dinner, forced a smile, and sat across from her at the kitchen table. As James played in the next room, Alexander leaned in. "You know what happens to people who break trust, Lauren? They lose everything." Lauren nodded, her face blank. "I know, Alex. I won't let you down." But inside, she was done being afraid. She was done letting him write her story. After he left, Lauren called Tammy. "I'm ready," she said. "Let's fight back." Tammy laid out the plan. Start collecting evidence, set digital traps, and find a way to expose Alexander's manipulation. Lauren wasn't sure how far she could go, but she knew one thing. She was done being a pawn. She would become the player. That night, Lauren sat on her balcony, the city lights blinking in the distance. She looked at the contract Alexander had given her so long ago, at the place where she'd signed her name. She felt anger and regret, and most of all, resolve. she was not going to be anyone's property, not anymore. And as a new day broke over Atlanta, Lauren began to believe in something she'd almost forgotten, her own power. Chapter 4. Under His Lens. The days that followed felt longer, colder. Lauren's world was now divided in two, the part Alexander watched and the part she tried to keep for herself. But with every passing day, the dividing line faded. Lauren kept up appearances. She texted Alexander as expected, dressed for his dinners, nodded and smiled at his jokes. She told herself she was doing what she had to, playing the part until she found a way out. But the strain showed. She grew quieter around Mia and James, her nerves constantly on edge. The sense of being watched was no longer just a feeling. It was a fact. Tammy was her anchor. On weekends, Lauren brought James to Tammy's apartment, claiming it was just a playdate. In truth, it was time to regroup and strategize. Tammy swept Lauren's phone and bag for spyware and found traces of tracking apps, cleverly hidden behind everyday icons. They wiped her phone, changed passwords, and set up two-step verification everywhere. "Every move you make is data for him," Tammy said, voice low. "We have to get smarter." Lauren began to build a file. Texts, voicemails, photos of strange cars outside her building, and records of gifts with tiny cameras hidden inside. Tammy helped her set up an encrypted cloud account. "Upload everything here," Tammy said. "If anything happens, I'll go to the police, the press, whoever it takes." For Lauren, every moment was an act. When Alexander called, she let him believe he was in control. She apologized when she was late, flattered his ego, and never questioned his rules, at least not out loud. But inside, she simmered. The more he watched, the more she recorded. The pressure increased. One night, Lauren returned home to find her apartment door unlocked. Nothing seemed missing, but she found a new camera perched discreetly on the kitchen shelf, hidden in a potted plant. The message was clear. There were no safe spaces left. She called Alexander, voice shaking. "Did you come into my apartment?" He was silent for a moment, then cool and distant. "You worry too much, Lauren. You agreed to transparency, remember? I care about your safety, James's safety." Lauren's anger threatened to spill over, but she bit it back. "I don't feel safe anymore, Alex. This isn't what we agreed to." He changed the subject, asking about James's school, about Lauren's health. His control was never overt. It was soft, insidious, hidden under concern and care. Meanwhile, Lauren took action. She started staging scenes. She left decoy messages on her phone, hinting at trips she never intended to take. She let Tammy record Alexander's voice when he visited, catching him making sly threats or mocking Lauren's independence. On the surface, everything seemed the same. Underneath, Lauren built her case, one careful piece at a time. David, the artist from the Lakeside retreat, became an unlikely confidant. They met occasionally in public spaces, cafes, bookstores, crowded parks. Lauren never told him the full truth, but David saw enough to worry. "You're different, Lauren," he said gently. "You look scared. Whatever you're going through, you don't have to do it alone." She wanted to tell him everything, but she was afraid to put him in danger. So she smiled and said, "Thanks, David. I'll be okay." James picked up on her tension. He grew clingier, asking to sleep in her bed at night, waking from nightmares. Lauren held him close, guilt tightening her chest. She promised herself that no matter what, she'd keep him safe. Alexander noticed the changes. He pressed harder, demanding more of her time, more of her obedience. He accused her of lying when she said she was busy, questioned her every excuse. One evening, Alexander invited her to a high-rise penthouse dinner with business partners. The atmosphere was tense, waiters gliding silently, guests speaking in careful, measured tones. Lauren sat quietly, observing, trying to seem invisible. Halfway through the night, Alexander's phone buzzed. He excused himself and left the room. A few minutes later, a waiter approached Lauren and slipped her a note. "Leave now." Lauren's heart pounded. She excused herself to the bathroom and, after a moment's hesitation, walked out through the service exit, catching a cab back to her apartment. When she arrived, she found her front door slightly ajar. On the kitchen table was a single red rose and a USB drive. In her hands shaking, Lauren plugged the drive into her laptop. There were dozens of video files, footage of her in her own home, recordings from cameras she hadn't even known were there. She watched herself cooking dinner, putting James to bed, talking on the phone to Mia and Tammy. A message file was attached. "I know everything. Don't cross me." Lauren felt violated, humiliated, and angry. But she also felt something else. Determination. She wasn't just going to survive this. She was going to fight back. She called Tammy, voice trembling but fierce. "It's worse than we thought. He's everywhere. But now I have proof. I have what we need." Tammy wasted no time. "We'll bring this to someone who can help. If we do it right, he'll never see it coming." Lauren and Tammy began to lay a digital trail, selecting the worst of Alexander's threats, compiling records of his surveillance, and preparing a dossier to send to a journalist who specialized in digital privacy and abuse. Every day, Lauren played her role, but behind the mask, she was gathering ammunition. David, sensing her distress, offered quiet support. One day, he handed her a small, hand-carved box. "For secrets," he said with a wink. Lauren smiled, slipping the USBs inside, feeling the first flicker of control return, but Alexander was relentless. He hired a private investigator to follow Lauren. She caught sight of the same dark sedan at James's soccer practices, at the market, even outside Tammy's building. Her world shrank. Fear and paranoia grew, but so did her resolve. One night, Lauren received a warning text from Tammy. "He knows. Be careful." That was when Lauren realized this was no longer about running. This was about standing her ground. She stared at her reflection in the bathroom mirror, eyes rimmed with fatigue, but burning with purpose. "You're stronger than this," she whispered. "You have to be." Lauren tucked James into bed, kissed his forehead, and locked every door. She sat at her kitchen table, a notebook open, and wrote down every detail she could remember, every threat, every strange encounter, every moment Alexander tried to erase her sense of self. She wasn't a victim, not anymore. She was the author of her own story, and she was just getting started. Chapter 5. The calculated reversal. Lauren felt every minute drag as she moved through her days. She played her part with Alexander, meeting him for scheduled dinners, responding to his endless texts, smiling when he expected her to smile. But beneath the surface, she was gathering strength and ammunition. The fear that had once ruled her was now something else, a sharp, steady resolve. If Alexander wanted to play this game, she would be ready. It was Tammy who helped her transform from hunted to hunter. Tammy had always been the friend who could fix anything, the one who read privacy policies for fun, who could hack her own Wi-Fi in less than 5 minutes. Now, Tammy put those skills to work for Lauren. She swept Lauren's home again and again, checked her car for GPS trackers, taught her how to spot spyware on her phone. Every day, they built their case. "Keep everything," Tammy insisted. "Screenshots, voicemails, even little things. Anything that shows his control, and keep it all backed up somewhere he can't touch." Lauren became a collector of evidence. She recorded every suspicious interaction, every message that crossed a line. She changed her phone habits. No more late-night calls from home, no private conversations near gifts from Alexander. Even James noticed a change in her. He asked fewer questions, sensing she was carrying something heavy. In the privacy of her bedroom, Lauren mapped out Alexander's schedule on paper. She tracked his moods, his routines, the places he felt powerful, and the places he let his guard down. She noticed patterns. He was more arrogant after a business victory, more controlling when he was stressed, and most vulnerable when he thought he had total power over her. Meanwhile, Tammy found a journalist, Sarah Kim, known for her investigations into digital privacy, women's safety, and the abuse of power. Sarah had covered similar cases before and knew how to keep her sources safe. Tammy reached out with a careful email, outlining only the basics. Sarah's reply was cautious but interested. "Let's talk, but only in person and only somewhere public." Lauren felt hope for the first time in months. The three met at a busy downtown cafe, Lauren wearing a baseball cap and sunglasses, her hands trembling. Sarah listened intently, taking careful notes as Lauren described the surveillance, the threats, the contract she'd signed. She showed Sarah the videos, the tracking apps, the photos of gifts with hidden cameras. Sarah's face darkened. "He's not just controlling you. He's breaking the law. This is coercion, stalking, illegal surveillance. If you're ready, I can help make this public. But you have to be certain it won't be safe or quiet." Lauren nodded. "I'm ready. I can't live like this anymore, and I don't want anyone else to go through it either." With Sarah's help, Lauren began preparing a digital dossier. They organized every piece of evidence, text threads, bank transfers, surveillance footage, gifts, receipts, emails, threats. Sarah coached Lauren on what to expect if they published her story: blowback, press attention, legal threats from Alexander's team. But Lauren's fear had evolved. She knew the risks, and for the first time, she felt like she had agency. They set a plan: bait Alexander into revealing himself on record. They would give him just enough information to make him feel safe, then catch him admitting what he'd done. Lauren started laying digital traps. She sent texts she knew Alexander would see, planting false stories about leaving town or meeting with someone new. She tracked which ones triggered his anger. She had Tammy record their phone calls. Alexander, sometimes gentle, sometimes threatening, always trying to manipulate her back into compliance. She pretended to fall in line, even as she built her case. Meanwhile, Alexander's paranoia deepened. He demanded to know why Lauren was acting strange, why she was distant. He doubled his efforts, sending new gifts, calling her at work, pressing for more of her time. Lauren never gave him what he wanted. She only gave him just enough to keep him close. Sarah, the journalist, introduced a lawyer to the team. They explained the process: collect more, make the evidence irrefutable, prepare to go public. They talked about restraining orders, about digital forensics, about protecting James. Lauren started feeding Alexander carefully crafted misinformation. She told him she was thinking of ending the contract, that she needed space. He responded with veiled threats. "Remember what you signed, Lauren. You know what happens if you break the rules." She responded, "We both know this isn't about rules, Alex. It's about control." For the first time, he sounded unsure. "Don't make a mistake, Lauren. Don't make me do something you'll regret." She hung up, her hands shaking, but her resolve hardening. That weekend, Sarah launched the first phase, an anonymous post on a popular women's advocacy forum, detailing Lauren's experience in vague terms, asking if anyone else had endured similar abuse from a wealthy Atlanta businessman. The replies came quickly. Women who described similar stories: contracts, surveillance, manipulation, threats. Some were anonymous. Some were brave enough to share their names. Sarah reached out privately to each one, gathering stories and evidence, It was bigger than Lauren had ever imagined. Now the plan moved into its final phase. Sarah arranged for Lauren to meet Alexander in a public place, with audio and video recording discreetly set up. Tammy sat nearby, ready to intervene if needed. Lauren dressed carefully, choosing a look that would put Alexander at ease, soft, approachable, exactly the way he liked her. When they met at an upscale restaurant, Alexander tried to reclaim his dominance. He ordered for her, critiqued her choices, and leaned in close. Lauren played along, guiding the conversation gently toward his control. "Why did you put cameras in my home, Alex? Why do you want to know where I am all the time?" Alexander smiled, lowering his voice. "Because you need boundaries, Lauren. You agreed to this. I told you. I'm protecting you. If you'd just follow the rules, we wouldn't have these problems." Lauren pressed further. "But you threatened me. You said you'd ruin me if I left." He leaned even closer. "I did what I had to do. You're not the only one who's broken the rules. Remember that." That was all they needed. Afterwards, Lauren left quickly, fighting to hide her relief. Sarah and Tammy congratulated her. She had gotten the admission on tape, in public, with witnesses. The evidence was overwhelming. Sarah's team began preparing the story. Lauren was given the choice: publish anonymously or step forward under her own name. She took a deep breath, weighed the risks, and made her choice. She would step forward. She would own her story. She would not let Alexander, or anyone else, control her ever again. She was scared, yes, but she was ready. For the first time in months, Lauren felt the sun warming her face as she walked home. She held James's hand a little tighter, whispering, "It's almost over, baby. I promise." The reversal had begun. Now she would see it through. Chapter 6. The Public Reckoning. The air felt electric the morning Lauren woke to find the world changing. Her secret war with Alexander was about to go public. All night she'd barely slept, checking and rechecking her phone, waiting for Sarah's call. At dawn, Sarah's voice came through at last, steady and urgent. "It's time, Lauren. Are you sure you're ready?" Lauren's hands trembled, but her answer was clear. "I'm ready. Let's do it." By noon, the story was everywhere. Sarah Kim's investigative report hit every major platform, headline after headline, painting the picture of a single mother lured by the promise of financial security, then entrapped, surveilled, and blackmailed by one of Atlanta's wealthiest men. Lauren's voice was there, strong and measured, describing how her private world had become a prison. Video clips, carefully edited, her face blurred, showed the hidden cameras, the threatening texts, the contract that had become her cage. The reaction was immediate. Social media exploded, hashtags trended, other women came forward, some with stories even darker than Lauren's. For every voice that doubted her, a dozen others offered support. Lauren watched the tide turn with a mix of relief and terror. She'd exposed Alexander's power, but now her own life was an open wound for all to see. Alexander didn't stay silent. Within hours, his lawyers filed a lawsuit for defamation and breach of contract. Lauren's phone filled with threats from private numbers, some subtle, some explicit. Alexander himself sent one message: "You can still make this disappear. Take it all back." She didn't answer. The next few days were a blur of chaos. News vans parked outside her apartment. Journalists knocked on her door. Mia came over, holding groceries and hugging Lauren tight, whispering, "You did the right thing." James, confused by the cameras and the whispers, clung to Lauren's side. Sarah's team provided security and legal advice. They had Lauren change her routines, move to a temporary apartment, and keep James home from school for a while. But the fear was mixed with a strange new energy, a freedom Lauren hadn't felt in years. She was no longer hiding. Then came the tipping point. At a packed press conference, Sarah Kim played the recordings of Alexander's admissions. The audio was clear. Alexander describing his rules, his protection, his surveillance. Lawyers tried to object, but the public was already listening. The crowd murmured as Sarah introduced other women, some anonymous, some brave enough to show their faces, each telling how Alexander had trapped them too. One by one, the dominoes fell. Sponsors withdrew from Alexander's businesses. Board members distanced themselves. The charity galas that once welcomed him turned cold. Public opinion shifted. The story became a rallying cry for women's safety, for privacy, for justice. Lauren watched it unfold with awe and a touch of fear. Alexander was still dangerous, and now he was cornered. A summons arrived. Alexander was suing for custody of James, claiming Lauren was an unfit mother because of her reckless behaviour and involvement in criminal activity. The cruelty took her breath away. For a moment, she was paralysed by fear. But Sarah and her lawyer rallied around her. "You have truth on your side," Sarah told her. "And now the world is watching." Lauren's own words had become her shield. She gave interviews, sometimes in tears, sometimes furious, always honest. She talked about survival, about fighting for her son, about refusing to let anyone else write her story. Meanwhile, Alexander's empire crumbled. His business partners fled, his assets froze, and for the first time, people questioned the man behind the money. The private investigator Alexander hired flipped, admitting he'd followed Lauren and installed surveillance equipment under orders. He turned over evidence, receipts, emails, voice memos. Other survivors joined Lauren's case, providing even more proof. The case against Alexander grew stronger, louder, undeniable. The pressure mounted until Alexander, once untouchable, was called to testify in court. Lauren sat in the witness stand, nerves raw but face set. James's drawing of a smiling son folded in her pocket for strength. She spoke slowly, describing everything, how it started, how it felt, how she finally took back her life. The judge listened closely, asking questions about each detail. Lauren's lawyer presented the mountain of evidence, the recorded threats, the gifts with hidden cameras, the testimony of other women. Alexander's defense wavered, then broke. As the final recording played, Alexander's voice, cold and clear, threatening Lauren with consequences, the courtroom went silent. The verdict was swift. Alexander was found guilty of stalking, coercion, illegal surveillance, and blackmail. A restraining order was issued. He was fined, barred from contacting Lauren or James, and referred for further criminal investigation. The court awarded Lauren full custody of her son, recognizing her courage and her fight. After the verdict, Lauren stood outside the courthouse as cameras flashed. The city skyline glimmered in the distance. For the first time in years, she felt free. Reporters shouted questions. Lauren simply looked into the crowd and spoke. "No one should have to live in fear. If you're out there, if someone is trying to control you, don't be afraid to fight back. Your story matters. You matter." The public reckoning was over. But Lauren's journey, her healing, her rebuilding, was just beginning. Chapter 7. The escape and reckoning. For days after the trial, Lauren barely slept. Her body ached from the months of tension. Even as the news faded from the headlines and the phone calls stopped, she waited for the next threat, the next shadow at the door. But it never came. Atlanta felt new, strange, open, and silent in a way she'd almost forgotten. For the first time in years, she was not being watched. The court awarded Lauren full custody of James and a modest settlement for damages, enough to clear her debts and start again. She refused offers for tell-all books or sensational interviews. All she wanted was a return to normal life, a life she would build, brick by brick, on her own terms. In the weeks that followed, Lauren moved to a smaller apartment in a quiet neighbourhood. It was nothing like Alexander's world of penthouses and glittering charity balls. Her new place smelled of paint and hope. She planted a small garden with James, watching him dig his hands into the earth, planting seeds that would become something new. Each morning, Lauren woke before dawn and walked the neighbourhood. No security cameras, no bodyguards, just the cool air and the rising sun. She found peace in small rituals, making breakfast for James, chatting with neighbours, sending James off to school with his blue backpack. Mia visited often, bringing coffee and reminders to rest. You did it, Law. You really did. Sometimes they talked about the past, but more often they talked about the future, school, work, James's dreams. Lauren finally enrolled in evening nursing classes. For the first time, her future felt like something she could reach out and touch. But healing was interested. Mia lowered her voice. Being a sugar baby, you know, one of those arrangements. These men pay good money. Some just want someone to talk to. Go to events with, pay your rent, groceries, the whole thing. You could be out of this place in a month. Lauren almost laughed. But when she got home and looked at the stack of bills on her kitchen counter, the idea started to itch at her mind. She did some research. There were websites for it. Polished, professional, almost clinical. Seeking arrangements, elite companions, profiles of women who looked like models, but also women like her. Divorced, single, tired. There were rules, there were contracts. That's how Lauren met Alexander Blackwood. She never imagined her life colliding with someone like him. Alexander was a fixture in Atlanta's business world. Real estate, tech investments, charity galas. He was known for his tailored suits, sharp jaw, and the kind of smile that made people believe he could solve any problem. Lauren's profile was honest. No glamour shots, just her and James at the park. A few lines about wanting to get her nursing degree someday. Alexander's message was simple and direct. I admire your honesty. I'd like to meet. No expectations, just dinner. She almost didn't reply, but Mia nudged her. And the next Friday, Lauren found herself outside a glass-walled restaurant in Buckhead, feeling like she didn't belong. Alexander arrived 10 minutes late, apologising as he took off his coat, voice deep and calm. He asked about her work, about James, about what she wanted for her life. He never once looked at his phone. By the time dessert came, Alexander had already made up his mind. Lauren, I'm looking for something straightforward. I won't waste your time. I respect you too much. Here's what I'm offering. Companionship. Attendance at a few events, a weekly dinner. I'll cover your rent, provide a stipend, and set aside money for your son's education. You'll have your own space. No questions, no interference. You set the boundaries. It felt unreal. She asked to think about it. He agreed, sliding a small envelope across the table. Read it over. My number's inside. No pressure. You deserve to live, not just survive. Lauren spent the whole weekend staring at the contract. It was four, not a straight line. There were moments when Lauren woke from nightmares, heart pounding, certain she could hear Alexander's voice. Sometimes a strange car parked on the street made her blood run cold, but she learned to breathe through it, grounding herself in the present, in the life she was building. James flourished. He laughed more, slept better, and brought home pictures from school, smiling stick figures and bright suns, the kind he hadn't drawn in months. Lauren knew she'd done right by him. She'd fought for him. She'd fought for both of them. One bright Saturday, Lauren took James to a park by the river. The city skyline shimmered in the distance, but it felt far away, part of another life. They spread a blanket on the grass and watched ducks paddle across the water. James pointed at the clouds, making up stories about what they could be. "Mom, are we safe now?" he asked suddenly. Lauren looked at him, his bright eyes, his hopeful face. She hugged him close. "Yes, baby, we're safe, and we're free." Later that afternoon, as they packed up to leave, Lauren saw David, the artist she'd met at Alexander's retreat, sketching under a tree. He waved them over, offering a gentle smile. Lauren introduced him to James, who shyly showed off his own stick figure art. David laughed, his eyes kind. They sat and talked for a while about art, about growing things, about how sometimes the darkest seasons bring the brightest blooms. Lauren felt the sunlight on her face, felt the weight on her chest lighten. She realized that, at last, her story was no longer about escape. It was about beginning again. In the months that followed, Lauren slowly allowed herself to trust. She and David became friends, sometimes more. She laughed again, real, deep, unguarded laughter. She found herself reaching for happiness, not just survival. On the anniversary of the trial, Lauren returned to the courthouse, not as a victim, but as an advocate. She met with other women who were fighting their own battles, offering support, sharing her story. She spoke to groups about digital privacy, about courage, about refusing to let shame or fear win. Standing in the echoing halls of justice, Lauren read a letter she'd written to her past self. "You are not weak for being afraid. You are not broken for wanting out. Your worth is not measured by the power someone else holds over you. You are enough, brave, smart, and strong enough to fight for your life, even when it feels impossible." As she finished, the room erupted in applause. Lauren's hands shook, but her heart was steady. She had rewritten her ending. Now, as the seasons changed and the garden outside her window bloomed with new life, Lauren watched James chase butterflies through the grass, sunlight tangled in his hair. She felt hope, real hope, and knew she had finally come home to herself, to freedom, to the life she had won with every step, every choice, every act of courage. No one would ever own her story again. Pages, clear, legal, not at all like she imagined. There was a list of expectations: punctuality, honesty, confidentiality. The payment was generous. The rules felt simple. There were optional boxes to tick: sleepovers, travel, even whether she would accept gifts. Alexander's signature was already there. Sunday night, after James was asleep, Lauren looked in the mirror. She saw the lines under her eyes, the worry in her mouth. She thought of James, of how tired she was, of scraping by, of how much she wanted out. On Monday, she called Alexander. "I'll do it, but I want to keep my apartment. James stays with me. I need to be free to take classes if I can." Alexander agreed to all of it. Within a week, her bills were paid. Groceries appeared at her door. She bought new shoes for James, blue with yellow stripes, the ones he wanted for months. For the first time in years, Lauren let herself breathe, but things weren't as simple as they seemed. Their first official date was a fundraising gala for a children's hospital. Lauren wore a borrowed dress, too tight at the waist, and spent the night smiling at strangers while Alexander introduced her as his companion. He was charming, making everyone feel important. He never touched her arm, never acted possessive. But as they left, he turned to her and said, "You did very well. You listened. You made them laugh. You made me look good." Lauren nodded, unsure how to feel. On the drive home, she realized she hadn't spoken to anyone about herself the entire night. She was a prop, but a well-cared-for one. The next few weeks blurred together. Every Tuesday and Friday, Lauren met Alexander for dinner, at different restaurants, each fancier than the last. He asked about her day, about James, about her classes. Sometimes he brought her small gifts, a book, a necklace, a silk scarf. She started to get used to the routine, to the way his eyes lingered on her when he thought she wasn't looking. Still, she kept her own life going. She walked James to school, picked up shifts at the market when she could, talked to Mia late at night. She told herself she was in control. But soon, Alexander's requests started to change. He began texting more often, asking who she was with, what she was wearing, whether she'd see him on a night that wasn't scheduled. Once, when she said she had plans with Mia, he replied, "I thought our agreement was clear." Lauren pushed back. "We agreed on Tuesdays and Fridays. I have my own life, Alex." He didn't reply for hours. When he did, it was just, "Of course, I understand. We'll keep things as they are." But after that, something in their arrangement shifted. Alexander was polite, but colder. He watched her more closely. He started mentioning things she'd done, conversations with co-workers, errands she'd run, things she hadn't told him. Lauren tried to ignore it. She told herself it was nothing. But she couldn't shake the feeling she was being watched. One night, as she was tucking James into bed, she heard a car outside her apartment, idling just a bit too long. She peeked through the blinds, heart pounding, but saw nothing. The next day, Alexander sent flowers. The card read, "For you and James, sweet dreams." Lauren wanted to believe it was kindness. She wanted to believe she still had choices. But deep down, she knew this contract had changed her life, and not just for the better. She told herself she could walk away any time, that she was strong enough, that she was still in control. But as she drifted to sleep that night, Lauren felt the first chill of doubt settle in. This was just the beginning. Chapter 2. The Velvet Cage. Lauren's apartment was different now. Nicer groceries in the kitchen, a new comforter on James's bed, the constant whir of anxiety beneath every small comfort. Life felt softer, cushioned by Alexander's money, but the edges had sharpened in other ways. Some days, she told herself, things were finally looking up. Other days, she wondered what price she was really paying. Alexander's generosity had a rhythm. Each week, rent arrived in her account with surgical precision. On Wednesdays, a courier dropped off groceries. Sometimes it was a luxury item: Belgian chocolates, imported cheeses, toys for James. Lauren felt grateful, but uneasy. She wondered if gratitude was really the word, or if it was something closer to dependence. Alexander texted every morning, "Hope you and James slept well. You're meeting me at 7 tonight. Wear the blue dress." Sometimes his requests were gentle suggestions. Other times, they felt like commands. Lauren tried to hold on to her sense of self. She worked her shifts at the market, went to James's parent-teacher conference, and called Mia for late-night gossip. But there was always the reminder: a dinner, an event, a request. It was at a Thursday night charity dinner that Lauren first noticed the change. Alexander's hand lingered at the small of her back as they entered the ballroom. He whispered in her ear, "Smile. People are watching." His eyes scanned the room, always searching for someone important, always calculating. Throughout the evening, Alexander introduced Lauren to his business associates. He told stories about her, how she was so strong, such a great mother, an inspiration. Lauren smiled, laughed at the right moments, and played her role perfectly. But she realized these weren't her stories. They were Alexander's, tailored to fit his world. After the dinner, Alexander's driver dropped Lauren home. She felt exhausted, drained in a way that had nothing to do with her feet. That night, as she lay awake, She remembered what Mia had said the first time she mentioned sugar arrangements. You have to be careful.
Sometimes the money makes you forget you're still in someone else's world. The next day, Lauren found a new dress hanging on her closet door, navy blue, silk, her size. The note read, "For our dinner Saturday, you'll look stunning."
She tried to ignore the creeping feeling that her life was becoming a stage. Lauren's boundaries started to blur. One Saturday afternoon, she invited Mia over for coffee. Mia glanced around, taking in the changes. "You really lucked out, Law," she said, running her fingers over the smooth countertop. "But you look tired." "I'm fine," Lauren replied, forcing a smile. "Just busy, you know?" James came in, holding a new soccer ball. "Look what Mr. Alexander gave me." Mia raised an eyebrow, but said nothing. After she left, Lauren felt lonelier than before. She called Alexander that night, trying to reassert her independence. "I appreciate everything, Alex, but I need my space sometimes, and I want to keep seeing my friends." There was a pause on the line. "Of course, Lauren," Alexander said. "You know I only want what's best for you. I just worry. You're important to me." The next day, Alexander texted her a schedule for the week: Monday, dinner; Tuesday, free; Wednesday, lunch at the club; Thursday, event; Friday, dinner. Lauren stared at the list, heart sinking. She replied, "That's too much. I can't." Alexander called, his tone calm but clipped. "You agreed to companionship. My time is valuable, Lauren. I expect you to honour our arrangement." She hung up, feeling trapped, unsure when the rules had changed. Over the next month, the cage tightened. Alexander sent reminders if she was late. He critiqued her clothes. "That red skirt is too bold," and commented on her makeup. "Natural is best for you." When she skipped to dinner, he withheld her stipend, apologising later and blaming a banking error. Lauren confided in Mia. "He's getting possessive," she said. "It's not what I signed up for." Mia frowned. "Can you leave?" Lauren shook her head. "It's complicated. The money, it's not just for me, it's for James. And it's not just about the money anymore. He knows things about my life. He's everywhere." She tried to set boundaries. She made up excuses to miss dinners. She started wearing what she wanted again, meeting Mia in public places, turning her phone off for hours at a time. But Alexander always found a way to remind her of his presence. One afternoon, Lauren returned home to find a package on her doorstep. Inside was a silver necklace with a tiny camera charm. The note read, "So I can always see you smile." Her skin crawled. That night, as she helped James with his homework, she glanced at the necklace on the table, her mind racing. Was he watching? Did he know where she went? She checked her phone for any unfamiliar apps, any sign she was being tracked. Everything looked normal, but the paranoia lingered. At their next dinner, Lauren tried to assert herself. "Alex, I need boundaries. I want to keep my life separate. I want to be respected." Alexander smiled, cold and amused. "Respect is earned, Lauren. I give you everything, and you give me..." "What exactly?" "I expect loyalty." She clenched her jaw. "I'm not your property." He leaned in, voice low. "No, you're not. But don't forget who's helping you." Lauren left the restaurant early, making up a story about James being sick. As she walked home, tears stung her eyes. The city lights blurred. She wondered how she'd ever believed this arrangement could be simple. Weeks passed. Lauren felt herself slipping day by day into someone else's life. She noticed the change in James. He was quieter, watching her with worried eyes. Even Mia started to pull away, sensing that Lauren was hiding more than she was saying. One night, Lauren found a small camera tucked inside a vase in her living room. She stared at it, heart thumping, realizing the full extent of Alexander's surveillance. That night, she gathered every gift, every trinket, and locked them in a drawer. She called Alexander the next morning. "We need to talk, now." They met in a private lounge at one of his hotels. Alexander sat across from her, unbothered, sipping coffee. "I'm done," Lauren said. "No more gifts, no more cameras, no more control." Alexander didn't flinch. "You signed a contract. There are consequences." Lauren's hands shook. "I'll pay you back. Every cent." He smiled, a slow, calculating smile. "It's not about the money, Lauren. It's about trust, and you've broken it." She stood to leave, her breath shaky. As she reached the door, Alexander's voice followed her. "Be careful, Lauren. You never know who's watching." Outside, the city felt colder than ever. Lauren realized then that her velvet cage had no door, and the only way out was to break it. That night, she sat on her bed, James sleeping soundly beside her, and made a promise to herself. She would find a way out, for James, for herself, no matter what it took. Chapter 3. The Turning Point. Lauren's world became a chessboard, every move watched, every piece locked in place by Alexander's invisible hand. She tried to carry on, waking early to get James off to school, working short shifts at Midtown Market, exchanging strained smiles with customers who had no idea what shadows hung over her life. But the city felt colder, narrower. She checked over her shoulder more often now, and sometimes she woke in the night certain she'd heard a camera click. Even so, Lauren clung to hope. If she could just be smart, just patient, maybe she could find a crack in Alexander's control. She avoided his gifts, hid her phone when she changed, and took careful note of her surroundings. But it was exhausting, this constant vigilance. She knew she was slipping, growing more anxious each day. One Friday, Alexander insisted she join him for a business retreat at his lakeside mansion. The house sat at the edge of a wide, shimmering lake, all polished wood and glass. Lauren brought James, having nowhere else to leave him, and Alexander pretended to play the doting host. There were other guests, business partners, investors, and their families. For a moment, Lauren almost relaxed, watching James chase dragonflies along the dock, his laughter echoing across the water. But even here, the sense of surveillance clung to her. Alexander introduced her to everyone as a dear friend, but his hand never left her back. When she stepped out onto the porch for air, she caught him watching her through the window, his expression unreadable. That evening, as the sun dipped behind the trees and the air turned cool, Lauren met David. He was one of Alexander's guests, a local artist with unruly hair and paint under his fingernails, a gentle smile and eyes that saw past surfaces. She found him by the water, sketchbook balanced on his knee, watching the clouds change colour. "Beautiful, isn't it?" David said, nodding towards the lake. Lauren smiled, tucking a loose curl behind her ear. "I haven't seen a sunset like this in years." He glanced at her, then at the house. "It's easy to forget what matters when everything feels staged." Lauren looked away, not sure how much to reveal. But David was easy to talk to. He asked about James, about her favourite music, about childhood dreams. He never once asked about Alexander. For a moment, Lauren felt like herself again. Just a woman, talking to a stranger in the golden light. They walked the path along the water, talking quietly. Lauren told David about nursing school, about James's love for soccer, about how life sometimes felt like a story written by someone else. David listened, really listened, and when he laughed, it was real. As the sky deepened to purple, James ran up, face flushed. "Mom, come see the frogs." Lauren laughed and followed, feeling, for the first time in months, something like hope. Later that night, back in her guest room, Lauren heard a knock. Alexander entered without waiting for permission. "You spent a lot of time with David tonight," he said, voice soft but cold. Lauren's heart thudded. "Ah, we talked. He's kind." Alexander's eyes narrowed. "You're here with me, Lauren, not him." She forced herself to meet his gaze. "We were just talking. There's nothing wrong with that." He stared at her for a long moment, then nodded and left, the door clicking shut behind him. Lauren tried to sleep, but her mind spun with fear. Had Alexander seen something? Was he jealous? The next morning, she found a folded note on her pillow. "You belong to me. Don't forget it." Lauren shivered. That day, she avoided Alexander, keeping close to James and David, trying to keep things light. But by dinner, the tension was a physical thing. Alexander watched her every move, barely speaking. When they finally drove home, Lauren breathed easier, thinking the worst was over. She was wrong. The next night, her phone buzzed with a text from an unknown number. Attached was a video clip, grainy footage of her hugging David on the lakeshore. The message read, "I see everything. Be careful who you trust." Lauren's stomach twisted. How? When? Was he recording her everywhere? Was her privacy gone for good? The world seemed to tilt, her mind racing. She deleted the message, heart pounding, then checked every corner of her apartment, searching for more hidden cameras. She found none. But the fear lingered. She called Mia, voice shaking. "He's watching me, all the time." Mia was silent for a moment, then whispered, "You have to get help, Lauren. This isn't just about money anymore." But who could she turn to? Alexander was powerful. He had lawyers, friends in high places, and a talent for making trouble disappear. Lauren felt isolated, her world closing in. But as fear settled into anger, something inside Lauren hardened. If Alexander wanted to play games, she would play back. She would outsmart him. The next day, she called her old friend Tammy, a tech-savvy woman who'd once worked for a private investigator. Lauren told her everything. The cameras, the messages, the suffocating sense of being owned. Tammy didn't hesitate. "First, you need to start documenting everything. Every weird message, every suspicious gift. Keep records, screenshots, dates, times. Second, let's sweep your place for bugs. And third, if you're ready, I'll help you turn the tables." Lauren felt hope flicker. She bought a